Let me invite you tonight to do something a little differently with me tonight as we begin. Let me invite you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. And then I want you to take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 36. So Psalm 148, and then in your hymnal, number 36. We are continuing to look at what we call the Hallelujah Psalms. As we look at Psalm 148, what we find is that the words of the song, "All creatures of our God and King," really mirror well the truth that is found in Psalm 148. This song, "All creatures of our God and King," your note was written by St. Francis of Assisi. And again, the truth that he speaks to, we find really looked at Psalm 148. I want to read some of these lines from it. Again, there's often a repeat of, "Oh, praise him, hallelujah." I'm going to skip over that. I want you to see, though, the words that this song speaks of, and then we'll look at the text of Psalm 148. But in number 36, we read, "All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing." And the challenge is that we should sing, "Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, oh praise him, oh praise him." Verse 2, "Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice. Thou flowing waters pure and clear, make music for thy Lord to hear. Thou fire so masterful and bright, thou givest man both warmth and light. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others take your part. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Let all things their Creator bless, and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him." That's the song that we are familiar to sing. And it's a good text that it reminds us of these wonderful truths. Now I want you to look at Psalm 148. Because as we come to Psalm 148, here's the challenge for us. Let all sing hallelujah. Really, Psalm 148 calls all creation to sing the praise of God. I'm going to invite you to follow along as I read Psalm 148. As I do so, in the 14 verses that are here, would you note the 13 times that he uses the term praise? In just 14 verses, 13 times, we are called sing upon our time tonight. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent, his glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Would you bow with me, please, in prayer? Father, we ask and pray that as we look at the 148th Psalm tonight, as we consider that all creation is to sing your praise. Yea, Father, as we understand that really all creation does, and yet those who often lack in praising you are the ones who know you best, who know you most intimately, your own children. So Lord, as we go through the psalm tonight, I pray that we would receive the challenge. Let all sing hallelujah. Let all praise the Lord. Lord, we'll thank you for what we will consider and learn tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 148 is masterfully written. It challenges the reader to offer his or her praise to God. In light of the fact that all creatures, great and small, visible and invisible, are called to praise God, how can we who study this psalm ever be so calloused as to sit silently by and allow our voices to be mute? Warren Wiersbe suggests that this psalm is a psalm cosmic in its dimensions, yet personal in its intention. The psalmist calls for you and I to praise the Lord. He calls for this praise to come from the immense heavens down to the small and intimate nation of Israel. Let all praise the Lord. Let all sing hallelujah. On Tuesday night, we'll gather together for a time of praise, a time of testimony, a time really of rejoicing. And the rejoicing should come from our lips. This service is usually one that we consider to be an opportunity for us to look back over the course of a year from one service to the next, and then to be able to offer to God the praise of our lips for that which He has done for us. Can we sit by with our voices mute while others praise the Lord? Is there nothing for us to look upon and see and be able to proclaim the goodness of God to those around us? And folks, if you and I cannot praise the Lord in this place, if we cannot offer to Him our thanksgiving, if we cannot sing hallelujah here, how will we ever be able to go out to a world that is lost and dying and sing the praises of our God? And folks, in essence, when you and I seek to witness for others, to others, when you and I seek to take the good news of the gospel to those who are lost, what we are doing is singing the praises of our God to those who would hear. And oh, that the people of God would learn to sing hallelujah, because the psalmist calls for all creation to praise the Lord. So let's take a closer look at this psalm together this evening. And as we do so, I want you to note that the psalmist calls for praise from the glories of heaven. In verses 1 through 6, he is calling for all of heaven to praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise you Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, For he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. The psalmist is calling for all of heaven to offer to God his praise. Could you consider with me for just a moment the immensity of that request? How many angels, folks, are there? How many hosts of heaven exist? It's innumerable. We do not know. How many stars are there in the heavens? How many galaxies exist? How many solar systems? We continue to discover more and more as we continue to study the heavens. Such things are beyond our comprehension, but man has always been fascinated, have we not, with the heavens? There is not a generation, a nation, there is not a tribe or tongue that we do not find that is fascinated with the heavens above. You go back, folks, into civilizations and you will find depictions of the starry host. We have been mesmerized by the heavens as mankind from the very beginning of time. You consider how we exist today in our modern times. Man has an insatiable thirst. He has an express desire to soar in the clouds. Don't we? From the Wright brothers who determined to fly, to every one of us who still is amazed when we board a plane to fly and we enter up into the heavens, to the absolute adrenaline junkies who like to soar in ways that should not happen by mankind, but they do it anyway. We have an insatiable thirst to fly. We have a continued desire to explore new opportunities in space. We landed on the moon. That wasn't enough. We sent a rover to Mars. We develop and continue to maintain a space station. And we want to expand our knowledge of the heavens. We build more and more powerful telescopes to search out new galaxies. We are never content. We want to know more. And to those heavens, the author of this psalm says, let everyone praise the Lord. Every star and every galaxy praises the Lord, does it not? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Every day as the sun rises, it gives warmth to mankind. It provides energy for us to live. We go out at night and we look up into the starry host. We can see the constellations and we can see the immense amount of stars that exist all around us, and we see the beauty of it. We look for the falling stars and the shooting stars, and we are amazed by the glory of the heavens above. Little kids still go out and stare up at the stars and stare up at the clouds, and we see images in them. And folks, the reality is we see the beauty of God's creation in the stars. And the psalmist says everything that is in heaven, things that we see and things we do not see, praise ye the Lord. All creation is called to praise him. Why? Why should all of heaven praise the Lord? Look at what it says in verse 5 and 6. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also hath established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Why do the heavens praise the Lord? Because he commanded. All things that you see and don't see, all things that we know and all things that we have no knowledge of exist because he commanded. Every star, it's in its place, it has its name, because God spoke it into existence. They burn out when he is done, because he commands. The heavens are there because of his creation. You and I do not see the angelic host. Does that mean they do not exist? They do exist. In fact, we look at Psalm 91 that says he gives his angels charge over you. I haven't seen an angel, folks, but I'm pretty sure they've woken me up from time to time in the wee hours of the night when I was ready to head off a road. Can't say that I was slapped by an angel, but I'm pretty sure somehow they got my attention. Our God is good, is he not? There are things that you and I see and don't see. And all the angelic hosts and all the stars, the sun and the moon, are called to praise him. Why? Because he commanded and he created. The stars know who created them. The sun and the moon know who set them in their orbit. The planets understand their roles and their responsibilities in this system, for God is the one who created them. Visible and invisible, Genesis 1 tells us explicitly that he created all things out of nothing by his spoken word. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Day one. Day four, God said, let there be a sun for the day and moon for the night, and let there be stars in the heavens, and it existed by his spoken word. But folks, verse 6 tells us that he also keeps what he decrees stands. Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 1, by him all things consist. How is it, folks, that we have such order in our universe? God makes it so. Folks, do you realize that on the day that God is done with this earth and this heaven, he will destroy it with a fervent heat and make a new one? Until that time, it continues to function. Tides continue to roll in. The sun rises and sets, east to west. The earth still rotates on its axis around its sun, and in a year, it travels a distance all the way around. We can determine what the phases of the moon will be. We can know what to expect every night when we go out into the heavens. Why? Because God keeps it in its place. And all of heaven is to praise him. This is why, again, the heavens sing hallelujah. How great is our God? Is he then not worthy of your praise and mine? I love this thought. You and I do not serve a God that is manufactured here upon the earth. That's what religions did. They made their idols of wood or stone or brass or even gold. We don't serve a God manufactured here upon the earth. We serve the one true God who made all things in heaven and earth. In fact, what we discover is that in 1 Kings 8, verse 27, that we see these words, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. Solomon understood that the heavens cannot contain our God. He is immense and immeasurable. And therefore, you and I ought to learn to sing the praise to God. Not only is there to be praise from the glories, but beginning in verse 7, we discover down through verse 13, that there's to be praise from the ground. All that is within the inhabitants of this earth, ought to praise the Lord. And so we consider this praise that ought to be offered to our God. We find the psalmist pointing us to some considerations of that which is upon the earth that ought to cause us to praise Him. I know that you and I, the inhabitants of this earth, will learn to open our eyes and begin to see and behold the beauty that's all around us that points to our God being worthy of our praise. Notice what the psalmist draws our attention to in these verses, if you would, tonight. Consider with me again the words that we find beginning in verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings from the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. Psalmist points to several reasons why the things of the earth ought to be praising the Lord, why we, the inhabitants of the earth, should praise Him. He first of all points to, in verse 7, the sea creatures. He says, praise ye the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. The reference is here to the creatures of the sea. I want you to take a few moments and just think with me about the sea. I want you to think about the oceans of our world. I want you to consider what they hold within them. These creatures that we often do not see nor understand much of. But folks, you understand the immensity of our sea? Just a couple of simple scientific facts for you. The oceans contain the highest mountains. They contain the deepest valleys. In the oceans, we find that it covers 72% of the earth's surface. That's over 139 million square miles, with an average depth of 12,460 feet. Let me put that in perspective. 12,460 feet. Seen the Empire State Building? Put nine more on top of it. Same size, 12,460 feet. That's the average depth of our ocean. Places it goes down for around 7 miles or more. The oceans, folks, are immense, but they're also filled with great diversity. Scientists have recorded 230,000 different species of life and plant life, animal life and plant. They estimate that there is somewhere between another million to 10 million species that live in our oceans. Back in 2000, they had not yet begun the recording process, and they did not know how many existed. With all of our technology and all the things that we have, as they've begun that project, we now know there's about 230,000 different species. Not to mention, within our ocean are different environments and different ecosystems, all which have their own various creatures that live there. And folks, when you consider such creatures, it is an amazing thing to see, and it ought to cause you and I to marvel at our God. 230,000? 15 wasn't enough? I mean, that's an incredible amount, folks, of diversity. A diversity that we probably don't know of here upon the earth. And the psalmist says, consider the dragons and all the deeps as you consider your God. He points not only to the sea creatures, but he points to storms. He speaks of fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Flames of lightning, the rolling thunder, powerful winds which blow, hail and snow, all which bring both terror and delight. Notice what the psalmist says. They fulfill his word. Folks, the storm systems which gather, that we watch and see, from the rains that fell today to the snows which soon will fall, to the massive hurricanes that beat upon our shores, all of them are a demonstration of the power and beauty of our God. Snow's a beautiful thing, but a blizzard's terrifying. And each one is a reminder of our God in his power, but also of his grace and his beauty. And so the psalmist says, consider the storms. He then tells us in verse 8 to consider the sights. He speaks of the mountains and all the hills, fruitful trees and all the cedars. Consider the beautiful sights that man is able to see. Majestic mountains and the rolling hills, the peaceful plains, fields which bear their crops, and trees which bear fruit, towering trees from which we build our homes. Or maybe, as Jeff Wright would like to point out, give us paper. All of those things are needful, are they not? And the psalmist says, consider the sights. Folks, just consider the beauty of our location. Consider the fact that it doesn't take long to get to the mountains and it doesn't take long to get to the shore. It doesn't take long of a travel for you and I to find those places where we find the farmers rowing their fields and growing their crops, and we can look and see those beautiful things. And folks, as you travel through this land, you begin to see all the wonderful beauties of our God and his creation, and really ought to cause us to understand our God and to praise him, for every one of those sights praises our God. He then speaks to the simple and the superlative creatures, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. From the simplest beast of the field that labored to provide us food, our cattle, to the majestic eagle that soars up above. From the simple creatures that annoy, those insects, which somehow have a part. I haven't figured that out yet, but they do. To the lion and the tiger, which impress. The psalmist says, consider the creatures of this world. Consider the beauty of them. They all point to our God. And then he speaks of souls, kings of the earth and all people, princes and judges. He speaks to those of our royalty. He speaks to the common man. He helps us to consider those who are old and those who are young, male and female, to consider the souls of men. Consider, folks, even the diversity of people. Consider the fact, the diversity of people that are here tonight. We relatively look the same, but we are a different people, each one of us. Each one is distinct. Each one is unique. Each one is precious in the sight of our God. We look around our world today and we see great diversity of the people. And God causes us to see each one that we would then offer to him praise. Why? Why should we praise our God when we consider that which comes from the ground? Notice what he says, please, in verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. When you and I consider that which we see here within the inhabitants of the earth, God says that we ought to praise Him, to sing hallelujah, because He alone is excellent. He alone is glorious. He is above it all. Consider the most glorious sight, and it fails in comparison to our God. He alone is excellent. So let us praise Him. But verse 14 tells us that there ought to be praise from God's people. We begin with the glories of heaven. We come to the inhabitants of the earth, those who live here upon this planet, now to consider the very nation of Israel and His own people. Here's what it says. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. When were these hallelujah psalms written, folks? Someone tell me. During what period of Israel's history? We've shared it each week so far, so I've given it to you twice. Say that again. The return from exile. This is the remnant people. These are the people under men such as Ezra and Nehemiah, Zechariah and Haggai. These are ones that have returned now to the land. They've seen the Lord redeem and restore. And so He says that He exalts the horn of the people. That's being a reference to Him lifting up of a nation. When He took away the horn, He sent them away into exile. He now raises up the horn. He brings them back. And all of the saints of the earth, the children of Israel, who are near to Him, the psalmist says, sing hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. So in this final thought, we find that a God that is immense, that all creation praises, also speaks to those who have the most intimate knowledge of Him and calls them to praise His name. We, the people of God, should be quick to praise the Lord. Again, He is specifically referring to the remnant that returned, God's chosen people, Israel, but all His saints that are near to Him should be prepared to praise His name. Folks, all of heaven praises Him, and so does all the earth. And yet, sadly, the ones who remain mute are the people of God, those near to Him. We forget His goodness. We forget His grace. We begin to adapt the philosophy of the world that says, I deserve more, I should have better, and we forget just how wonderful He is. We forget how immense our God is. Folks, the heavens to which you and I cannot comprehend cannot contain Him. His wisdom is unsearchable. His knowledge and His understanding far exceeds ours. And if we can't believe that for what we can see, consider the things we can't see. All of this earth and all of heaven sings His praise. What about the people of God? And so the psalmist begins and ends, praise ye the Lord. 13 times, praise Him. There ought never be a day, folks, that from our lips we do not praise Him. That from the heart we don't sing hallelujah. He has put a new song in your heart. And as we sing and as we praise, many will hear it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. But they won't when we are mute and silent. So let all creation sing hallelujah. And let you and I, as part of that creation, sing the loudest, the praise of our God. Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We thank you again for these Psalms. Lord, each one which reminds us of the importance of singing our praise to Him, as we would be willing to sing hallelujah, as we would be able to desire to praise together the Lord our God. So Lord, we ask and pray that you would cause us to reflect upon these things, consider all of heaven and earth, and may we be willing to praise ye the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.